Chapter 4. Positive Reinforcement. Interlude 1. Jupiter awoke to golden warmth and an unfamiliar pressure on her chest. The gold was thanks to the morning sun, which was making a determined effort to shine in through the curtains, while most of the warmth came from the large, hot body that lay curled around her. This was also the source of the pressure, she discovered when she moved her hands to explore and found Kane's head. He was entirely submerged under the blankets, face turned aside and his beard tickling her breasts. Her naked breasts. Oh, yes, they were naked in bed together. That thought brought Jupiter fully into consciousness, with a luxuriant stretch that made her toes tingle. They were naked in bed together, and Kane was still fast asleep. She could tell, because the sounds that had originally woken her were the faint little waffles and snorts which he was currently making into the side of her right boob. It reminded Jupiter of the way dogs sometimes woofed in their sleep, and idly she wondered what he was dreaming about. There was a soft yet purposeful creak from the doorway, and Jupiter rolled her head to find Stinger standing in it. She felt the color rising in her cheeks, until she remembered they were thoroughly buried under the blankets, and the only thing he could see was the upper half of her face. Then she noticed the man's expression. He was looking vaguely past her, to where the large lump indicated the presence of Kane, his manner thoughtful and, if Jupiter could believe it, a little wistful. Then he caught her eye and smiled sheepishly. "I haven't actually seen him sleep in ages," he breathed, voice so quiet Jupiter had to strain to hear the words. She mouthed, "He's dreaming." And Stinger shook his head, grinning. Then his smile faded and he regarded her seriously. It was the first time he'd ever looked her in the eye, Jupiter realized with a jolt. His caught the early morning sun, flashing yellow. "You'll look after him," he said. In that moment, he was not a splice talking to an entitled. He was an officer handing over a soldier to a fellow commander. It suddenly made everything easy and comfortable. "I will," Jupiter breathed. On her chest, Kane was lying quiet and still. Stinger put his hands in his pockets and nodded. "I know you will," he said, and looked archly at the sheet-covered lump. "So how much longer are you going to pretend sleep, you sly dog?" Kane's body shuddered, and his head rose off Jupiter's chest, breaching the layer of blankets like a fuzzy, blonde whale. His eyeliner was smudged, and his hair was plastered against his head on one side, and teased into crazy spikes on the other. He glowered at Stinger. "What the fuck are you doing here?" he growled. "I'll thank you to remember this is my house," Stinger said, but without rancor. Instead, he looked pointedly at the scattering of clothes, boots, and shoes that still decorated the floor. There was also a single brown feather. "Though I suppose I should thank you for not actually doing it in my bed." "Oh my God," said Jupiter, throwing an arm over her face. "Stinger, what do you want?" Kane said, utterly unrepentant. Stinger straightened up, looking deferentially at the wall, and said in a more normal, brisk way, "Mr. Knight wishes to speak with Her Majesty. He says he needs to consult with her about the, chariot." "Oh," groaned Jupiter. "Great." When she did wander out to the barn, flanked by Kane and a curious Kiza, it was hardly what she'd been expecting. There were raised voices from inside, and as they approached, there was a crash and the door shook. Kane frowned and put himself firmly in front as he slid it open. "Over my deactivated grav jets!" shouted a coarse female voice. "That is precisely why I have to speak with Her Majesty," Chicanery Knight was saying, When Jupiter pushed past Cain and beheld for the second time Balaam's distressing chariot, it looked much like it had before, a long, almost canoe-like shape, with a raised seat at the back, and on the tipped-up prow, in place of a figurehead, was a living woman, her legs and torso disappearing into the keel and life-support lines jacked into her back and sides. But where before she had stared out at the world with half-dead eyes, her arms bound at her sides, now she had both hands free and was glaring down at the unfortunate Mr. Knight, who had taken refuge behind a moldy bale of straw. "Okay," said Jupiter. "What the hell is going on?" Both parties turned to her, both angry, frightened, and a little bleary-eyed. "Madame Chariot has been presenting difficulties, ma'am," said Chicanery Knight, chancing a bow from behind his bale of straw. "As you can see, I've restored her voice and such physical control as she is capable of. However, anything further would—" He was cut off by an empty honey jar, hurled with surprising accuracy at his head. "My name is Morlanda," shouted the chariot woman, tossing another jar from hand to hand.
"Technically, your identity was stripped," Chicanery Knight muttered, not coming out from behind the bale. "You have no more right to that name than—"
"Okay, Morlanda," said Jupiter, turning to face the enraged chariot. "What seems to be the problem?" She found herself confronted by an almost Gorgonesque face, wide, heavy-set eyes, and thickly braided hair, all tinged like tarnished brass. Morlanda pursed her lips unhappily. "You can't get me out of the chariot," she said bitterly. "You don't understand. I'm spliced in. Half my internal organs have been replaced, and I'm hardwired to the generator." Jupiter was suddenly very glad she had not bothered with breakfast.
"Do you have access to its controls?" Kiza asked, idly sucking on a piece of honeycomb.
"Hi, yes, I'm Kiza," she said, waving when Morlanda just stared blankly at her. "You said you're hardwired in. Does that mean you could control the chariot?" Morlanda's shoulders drooped as far as her framework would allow.
"No," she said. "Control goes to a panel on the seat."
Kiza popped the honeycomb out of her mouth.
"Mind if I take a look?"
Morlanda just shrugged.
"Be careful," hissed Chicanery Knight. "She's got the Abraxas issue punch."
But Morlanda just crossed her arms and glared at the rafters, while Kiza slid around and climbed up onto the seat to get a look at the controls. After a moment, Jupiter went and joined her.
"What are you doing?" she asked.
"Dad's tech is always breaking," she said. She'd pulled open a panel which covered a conduit of cables running the length of the boat-like chariot. "I've seen stuff like this before. Usually you can reroute command."
"You just need to deactivate the firewall," Chicanery Knight called from behind the bale of straw.
"Really?" said Kiza. "That makes it easy, then."
"To do what?" Jupiter asked.
"Well, if Morlanda is hardwired into the chariot, it means her brain is hooked up as well, right? So if I just pull out the firewall..."
She reached in a slim, pale hand and yanked at a piece of shiny red metal. From the prow, Morlanda gave a surprised, "Oh!" Then the chariot abruptly came to life, shooting 3 feet into the air and skittering sideways. Jupiter had to duck and roll, and Kiza jumped clear at the last second.
"Oh!" said Morlanda, and slowly the chariot began to rotate, spinning around until she could look down at them. An obscene smile was spreading across her metallic face.
"You might want to take yourself out to the fields," Kiza suggested, rubbing her knee. "And make sure you keep an eye on your battery life."
Morlanda looked at Jupiter, sprawled on the ground. She glanced at Cain, standing by the door, and then gazed out, where the morning sun lit the cornfield with a bright yellow halo. As if in invitation, a light breeze wafted in, bringing with it the smell of wet grass and flowers.
"Yeah," said Jupiter, a little stunned. Go knock yourself out. Half an hour later, they were gathered on Stinger's back porch, watching Morlanda tear up and down the fields, pursued at a cautious distance by a gaggle of Sargons. Every now and then, the woman gave a delighted shriek. No, 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 said Stinger, as the chariot took aim at a new swath of land. Not the Rose Garden! No! A moment later, he was airborne, accompanied by a swarm of bees, and together they buzzed off to prevent the chariot and the Sargons from wrecking the flowers. At her elbow, Chicanery Knight gave a diffident cough. I hope you do not find my failure too egregious, he said. Jupiter blinked in surprise and looked down at him. No, she said. I mean, she looks pretty happy. That's what counts, right? Of course, ma'am, said Chicanery Knight, still doubtful. Nah, it's okay, Jupiter said, giving him a gentle pat on the elbow. Good job. Chicanery Knight actually took a step back from her in shock. Really? Sure, said Jupiter, but I still don't trust you. Chicanery Knight squared his shoulders and raised his chin. Of course not, ma'am, he said, and smiled. But it is nice to be appreciated. Out beyond the gardens, Morlanda had discovered that her gravity jets could lift her clear of the corn, and was streaking across the horizon, shining gold against the clear morning sky, her laughter rising out over the fields. Four. Positive reinforcement. Being a method of training whereby desirable actions are rewarded generously, especially well-suited for animals who are of nervous temperament or who have been mistreated in the past. The first contract, thinly disguised as a marriage proposal, arrived while they were in the process of furnishing Kane's apartment. This had been a stopgap solution while Jupiter figured out how she was going to give the almost $2 million to her mother that 200,000 C's had converted into without explaining the whole Queen of the Earth thing. The current plan was, get Kane an apartment, introduce him to the family, be sufficiently vague about what he did that they would assume he either worked for the government or the mob or possibly both. Have Kane, really Stinger, but through Kane, get Alexa and Nino's citizenship sorted out. Move them into the apartment downstairs, which Jupiter had also bought, and which was currently home to Gurnageth and a small detail of Sargons. And then... she was still puzzling out what she would do then. In the meantime, she could now say she was going to spend the night at her boyfriend's house, and not have that mean sleeping on a roof somewhere. Which had been nice, during the summer. It was the end of September now, however, and Jupiter had been adamant that Kane was not going to be camping on rooftops and in abandoned buildings over the winter. Besides, there were things she wanted to do with Kane that were not the sort of things one really wanted to do outside, unless they were a lot more of an exhibitionist than either of them. Kane's apartment was a loft, big and airy, with huge windows that actually opened. It had bare brick walls and rafters, and the floor was harshly scrubbed bamboo. The bed could fold up into the wall, revealing a small armory, and there was a communication hub installed behind a false panel in the closet. A trap door in the bathroom let directly into the apartment below, ostensibly to give Kane and the Sargons easy access to one another, though they usually flew up and down the outside, making good use of the opening windows. Which was the case when Gurnageth hovered into view while they were trying out different positions for the sofa, carrying a small, bright-eyed woman with long, tufted, furry ears. "This one has a message for you," she said ominously, dumping her burden unceremoniously at Jupiter's feet and going to stand loomingly behind her left shoulder. Gurnageth always stood at her left, leaving her right side, the place of honor, for Kane. Once Jupiter caught on, she actually found it sort of cute, in a large, scaly way.
"Greetings, Jupiter Abraxas," the woman said, primly dusting herself off and shooting a poisonous look at the Sargon. She didn't even acknowledge Kane, who had taken up his favorite position on Jupiter's free side and was engaging in a looming contest with Gernigeth.
"I am Hilaria Savin, first adjunct to His Majesty Prince Filian Estart of Estart Nectars, Inc. On behalf of His Majesty, I have come to offer this offer of declaration of loyalty and codependent prosperity, with the hope that you will condescend to join His Majesty for dinner aboard his palace ship, Nerif Staria."
So speaking, she presented Jupiter with a small, gilded tablet with something like an orchid embellished on it.
"Okay, yeah," said Jupiter. She would have felt taken aback, except she was very conscious of the two large people standing directly behind her. People who would, she was certain, not only catch her if she fell, but also eject the pernicious little woman from her apartment at high speeds. It made her feel a little more stable.
"You're gonna have to repeat that," she said. "Slowly. I might have read the code and conduct, but I'm still new at this." Behind her, Kane sighed thunderously.
"It's a marriage proposal," he said. "A rather forward one," remarked Gernigeth.
"Prince Filian only desires to make the benefits of his liaison clear to the Abraxas monarch," said Hilaria Savin, with a primness that made Jupiter's teeth hurt. "In light of her recent ascension and the attendant complications, he feels his offer is a generous one Her Majesty would do well to consider."
"So basically, he thinks I need someone to hold my hand in the planet ruling business," Jupiter said, nonplussed. Hilaria Savin's ears twitched angrily, but her perfect, frozen smile remained in place. She had very large, dark eyes, Jupiter noticed, wondering if she was part mouse.
"Prince Filian has only your best interests at heart," she said. "That such an arrangement might also benefit him is but a happy convenience."
Jupiter did not need to hear Kane's bitten-off snort to tell her this was a load of rubbish. She'd seen the list of Serafi's worlds, and they were staggering. But Balaam's personal assets were not too shabby either. Distantly, Jupiter wondered if she might not only be the owner and protector of Earth, but also the richest person in the galaxy. It was a dizzying thought, but did not help her formulate a coherent reply. Luckily, Hilaria Savin had not got her job by being stupid. After setting the tablet on their bare kitchen counter, she performed a hasty bow and began backing toward the open window.
"Your Majesty doubtless has many things on her mind," she was saying, shooting nervous glances over Jupiter's left shoulder. "Please take the time to consider the invitation, and return your answer tomorrow."
With that, she turned and took a flying leap out of the window, only to be caught in the updraft of an extractor beam, which lifted her sedately into the sky. "It's not going to stop, is it?" Jupiter asked Kane later. Later, after Gernigeth had gone back to her post and Jupiter had given up on finding a place for the sofa and made ramen, because Kane had never had ramen and that would not do, and they were sprawled on the sofa together, Kane with his booted feet hanging off one armrest and Jupiter lying flat out on top of him. His uniform was rough where it touched her bare skin, and his belt dug into her hip in an odd way, but he had one hand resting possessively on her back, and the other, just as possessively, on her rear. So everything was okay, really. Okay, except that she still had the tablet sitting like a time bomb on the kitchen counter, and the hovering presence of a space prince yacht somewhere beyond the Oort cloud. Such a long way away, really. Only not at all when your ship could teleport. She sighed.
"You can always tell him no,"
Kane said, his voice rumbling pleasantly beneath her.
I know, said Jupiter. I will. It's just... first there was Titus, and now this. Even if I do have the power or whatever, that just makes people want to take it away.
Kane was silent, but he'd begun to stroke soothingly up and down her back. His hands warm and rough, but gentle. She felt his chest rise and fall under her. Kane was breathing. Everything got a little more okay.
I could tell him no, she said, beginning to smile, and have Gernageth deliver the message in person.
You do realize Gernageth is the least of your military assets, Kane said, sounding a touch bitter.
Jupiter lifted her head from where it had been pillowed on his chest and squinted at him through the dim light. The sun had set, and they only had one working lamp.
Or you could tell him, if you want, she said, pressing a finger gently to his nose.
Kane rolled his eyes sideways and gave a little huff.
I meant, between the Sargons and the Legion's Honor Guard and the good graces of the Aegis, you could fly up there, take him prisoner, and demand he surrender his estates to you.
Huh, said Jupiter. I hadn't thought of that.
Your Majesty does not think like they do,
Kane pointed out, but he made it sound like that was a good thing.
You're right, said Jupiter, crossing her arms so she could lean up and look at Kane properly.
His eyes were half closed, but a little blue still glimmered through the dark cracks, and he had an odd, secret sort of smile creeping across his face. It made Jupiter smile, big and large.
I'm not like them, she said.
Kane shook his head.
No, he said, and now the smile was anything but secret.
A glimpse of a fang in the dark, quickly covered by warm, pink lips.
No, you are not.
The fact that he somehow made it sound as though this meant Jupiter was something more, something far greater and more beautiful, fabulous, and generally amazing, warmed her like the burn of fine whiskey. She felt it ignite the familiar fire inside her, and suddenly she was reaching forward, dragging herself over Kane's torso and kissing him firmly on those soft, pink lips. Lips which were still lax and unresponsive for the barest moment, and then they parted, closing on her tongue and then opening again, pressing into her mouth, her cheek, moving so he could clamp down on her jaw and suck, laving the area with his tongue. Hot, heady breath, still smelling faintly of pork ramen, gusted in her face, and she laughed and swallowed it down as she kissed him again. Her back was cold, his hands traveled upwards and were now drifting over her neck, fingers sliding through her hair so that he clasped her head, lifting and turning just so and... oh, that was perfect.
So, what will you do?
Kane asked, when their mouths parted. Jupiter had to collect the shards of her intellect from where they had been scattered before she remembered what he was talking about.
I'll figure it out tomorrow, she said. I'm tired of thinking about it.
Shall I distract you?
Kane said, his voice innocent, as though such distractions might involve cartoons or perhaps a card game. Yet Jupiter could tell, just from the tenseness of his body, not to mention the growing bulge in his trousers, that he had something very different in mind. Which was absolutely fine by her. Kane rarely initiated sex. When he did, it was always in a sort of roundabout way, being extra subservient and generally doing things that got Jupiter hot and bothered. He had explained that it took the smell of her arousal to get him properly turned on, but since Jupiter found herself aroused by Kane several times a day, whether he was inviting it or not, this had not exactly put a dent in their sex life. But to have him already hardening beneath her, clearly ready and willing to take the lead, was a rare treat. It was a treat, because it meant he was confident enough that Jupiter felt she could dare to push the envelope of what Kane was comfortable with. Which was already quite a lot, all things considered. The thing that pulled at Jupiter's heartstrings, however, was how much Cain clearly wanted some things, just wasn't comfortable asking for or doing them. It had taken her a week of careful handling before he'd let her suck his dick, and the result was a stoic, if red-faced, Cain to whimpering, crying, glassy-eyed Cain in half a minute. Now it was something she could do as much as she liked, and Cain only looked moderately taken aback every time she sat him down, or laid him out, or just backed him against a wall, pulled his pants off, and got to work. He thanked her afterwards, every time, and every time it gave her shivers. Now, though, now Jupiter had something else in mind, a desire she'd been nursing ever since their first time on the floor of Stinger's bedroom, and she grinned as she reached up and nibbled his ear. "That sounds nice," she said, and she felt his stubbly cheek press into hers as he mirrored her action, delicately taking the lobe of her ear between his teeth. "I think I already have something in mind."
"Your Majesty need only say," he whispered, a little hoarse.
Pulling back, Jupiter met his gaze evenly, noticing that his eyes had already gone a little unfocused and hazy. He was slipping into what she thought of as his substate, where he became even more pliant and agreeable and, in a certain way, more honest. He dropped all of his stoic armor when he got like this, showing his pain, his pleasure, and his desire clearly. But Jupiter knew well how easy it was to agree to something when you were drunk on arousal that you later regretted, and she needed him to be thinking clearly before they continued. "Cain, focus," she said, lightly tapping his cheek. He blinked, understanding that tone of voice. His hand slid down to rest on her hips, and he regarded her seriously.
"Yes, Majesty?"
"I told you before what I want to do," she said, running a hand down between them to cup the heat in his pants. Cain groaned and squeezed his eyes shut, breathing deeply through his nose, but mastered himself again and looked up at her.
"Please remind me," he wheezed.
"I want you to come," Jupiter said, dropping a kiss on the corner of his mouth. "In me." A shudder and a groan, and his hands tightened on her waist. "And I want you to stay in me," Jupiter went on, moving down to his neck, "while I come on you, around you." Cain's eyes actually rolled back, and he gave a little whine. But then he was shaking his head vehemently.
"No, no, I can't."
"Why not?" Jupiter asked, stroking his face. "Cain, I'm serious," she added, when all this got was a moan. "If that's something you really don't want to do, then we won't. I'll stop asking. No more questions. Just, if you want to do it, and there's something stopping you, I want you to tell me if there's anything I can do to make it all right." Cain looked aside, frowning, but he was heating up under Jupiter's hands and was, as far as she could tell, through two layers of pants and his fucking Under Armour, almost completely erect.
"I don't want to hurt you," he said,
in a small, cracked voice. "That's it?" Jupiter said, stomping down on her exasperation. Cain looked back at her, faintly stricken.
"That's everything, isn't it?"
Jupiter couldn't help smiling as she shook her head and leaned down to kiss him again. "That's a good priority," she said. "Mine too, actually, only the other way around. But I trust you, Cain. I trust you to tell me if it's too much or something hurts or feels wrong. Will you tell me to do the same? Unless you just don't want to do this at all." The response came almost immediately this time.
"No, no, I want. I do want."
Cain choked a little, getting the words out. Jupiter rubbed him gently through his pants and bit at his neck. "Yes?"
"I want you," he said, breathing heavily. "I want you, any way you'll have me. Just..."
He swallowed. Just take me. Have me. Keep me. Hold me. Those words went unsaid. He spoke them with his eyes, with the motion of his body, writhing under her. Words he couldn't say just yet. But he would, Jupiter knew, given enough time. She'd coax them out of him. He was hers, but by choice, not force. She'd condition him with sweetness and warmth, and when she called, he would come, dancing, joyous. I got you, she said, reaching up to kiss his mouth, opening it with the touch of her tongue and plowing inside. The fact that there were still things she wanted from him that she could not yet articulate hung heavy in the back of her mind, but she pushed those thoughts firmly away. One day, when he was strong enough, when she was strong enough, they'd get there. But for now, they were still laying the foundation for the bridge they would eventually cross together. Cain tasted sweeter than usual, another side effect of their dinner. But the longer she kissed him, working her way into his hot, eager mouth and stroking against him with her tongue, the more his own natural, earthy flavor reestablished itself, complete with the faint fizz that made her think of stardust. Her world tipped as Cain rose underneath her, propelled by his wings, which had half unfolded in anticipation. She settled into his lap, and he laid his head on her shoulder, while she went at the fastenings of his vest. It was a little complicated, getting it off around the wings, but Jupiter had had practice, and Cain was patient, holding himself completely still, moving only at her command, until she'd lifted the garment free. She wasn't sure what it said about her, that such displays of obedience filled her with an arousal so hot and intense she felt it like a firestorm in her veins, that the sight of his strong, naked back trembling under her hands was enough to make her wet. Then he lifted his head to gaze at her, his eyes shining, still disbelieving, and she pushed those uncomfortable thoughts aside and kissed the expression clean off his face. "You do me next," she said, tapping at his hands, which were still cupping her hips. "As you wish," he murmured, lazy and slow, half closing his eyes. For all she liked being in control, Jupiter liked it even more how carefully Cain undressed her, as if he was peeling back the petals of a flower or gently unwrapping a priceless artifact. He moved slowly, rolling her shirt up her sides, sliding a hand against her skin to guide it off one arm and then the other, before delicately lifting it over her head. He leaned in and scented her, dragging his face across her chest, before running his hands under the straps of her bra and carefully working it open. He pulled the cups off her, slowly, and Jupiter reached up and threaded her hands in his hair, holding his face so that she could feel the warm, wet rush of his breath over her breasts. "Go on," she whispered, teasing a finger over the shell of one perfect pointed ear. Cain growled against her skin, and she felt his mouth open and shivered at the soft touch of his tongue as he licked up the side of her breast, teasing at her nipple before pressing fully onto her, the hard edges of his teeth present, but not painful. Jupiter felt her core clench down as he moved his head to repeat the process on her other side, her hands fisting, mindlessly tight for a moment, in his short hair. He let out a low, visceral growl that she felt all through his body and between her legs. "Sorry," she hissed, quickly releasing him and stroking his scalp. "No," he said, looking up at her suddenly. "No, I actually..." He swallowed. "I think I like that." Well, that wasn't helping her internal conflict one iota. "You mean this?" Jupiter asked, burying her fingers in his short hair and pulling gently. Cain closed his eyes and flexed his shoulders, pressing himself close along her belly. Then he opened them and gave her a challenging look.
harder, he said.
Jupiter raised an eyebrow and let a little weight off her internal restraints. She pulled, sharp and sudden, at Kane's hair, feeling a jolt of excitement pulse through her as she did so. Another growl, this time accompanied with a flash of clenched teeth. His arms, like warm steel bands around her, shuddered.
"Like this?" she asked.
"Yes," he breathed.
"Interesting." She leaned in close, licking the tip of his ear before whispering into it.
"Anything else you'd like?"
Kane swallowed.
"One time,"
he said, quietly, the words going jerky.
You pulled my ear."
"You want me to do it again?"
she pressed on, because it would be far too easy to take this ball and run with it, and once she had it, Jupiter was certain she wouldn't want to give it back. Kane looked slightly embarrassed.
"Yeah."
With a feeling like she was going into free fall, even though she was held and supported so thoroughly, Jupiter reached up and, after softly caressing the shell of Kane's right ear, pressed the pointed tip between her thumb and forefinger and pinched hard. Kane gasped, eyes going glassy and blank. She twisted her hand, pulling his head to one side. This time his growl had a thread of a whine in it.
"Does any part of you want to bite me, Kane?"
Jupiter asked, leaning forward and kissing the side of his neck. A gasp.
"No."
She pulled harder and dared rake the nails of her free hand over his chest. A grunt.
"Okay, maybe a little."
"Good boy."
That got a surprised yelp. "But I'm not."
Jupiter found her hand had come to rest on his left pec, and she quickly found his nipple and pinched it between her nails.
"You are," she said firmly. "Kane, you're extraordinary. You have no idea how special you are, but I need you to take it from me."
Rising, she took his head firmly in both hands, clutching at the short yellow hair and pulling him flush against her breasts. He whined, but the sound was muffled against her skin, and she shushed him.
"Whatever anyone says, Kane, remember, you are perfect to me."
She felt the sob ricochet through him more than she heard it. He gave a sharp gasp against her skin, and then he was struggling to stand, gathering her up in his arms so he could get his legs out from under her. He was whispering into her chest, "Please, please, please." And Jupiter stroked his hair as he gently lowered her back down to the sofa.
"Please," he said, his voice low and rough. "Please, I want..."
His mouth closed over her left breast, and she gasped as he sucked hard, rolling her nipple between his teeth.
"I need to taste you," he gasped when he pulled away.
The really awesome thing about sweatpants was how quickly you could get out of them when your angel wolf boyfriend wanted to go down on you. Jupiter whipped them off so fast she nearly hit Kane in the face doing so, but he hardly seemed to notice. He didn't wait for her to get her underwear off, but nestled himself between her legs and buried his face in them, breathing heavily and licking her through the thin cotton.
"Oh, wow," said Jupiter, dazed but pleased.
Kane growled in response, drawing away slightly so he could work her panties off her hips, sliding them smoothly over her ass and dragging them away down her legs. She kicked them off at last, then hooked her knees over his shoulders and dragged him in. Not that he needed much dragging. He only paused at the last inch, turning to gaze up at her, needing one last word of encouragement.
"It's okay," she said, wet and breathless and trying not to thrust up into him. Bending forward, she stroked his face, fingers lingering on his mouth. "Good boy. Go on." With a relieved sigh, he sank into her, nosing her open and lips parting to allow his tongue to press into the head of her clit.
It felt like sinking into hot, wet heaven. Even though the only point of intimate contact was his mouth between her legs, she felt the heat of it rush through her whole body, and she let out an involuntary moan. As if in answer, Cain moaned, and glancing down, Jupiter was struck by a vision of him, his brows knitted and his jaw wide open, a look of almost painful ecstasy on his face. It was the same expression he got when he kissed her, she realized, and the sight of it between her legs sent a wave of warmth spilling across her belly. It was almost enough to make her come. Almost. Jupiter sighed as she remembered her collection of vibrators were in a bag under the bed, a full 12 feet away. But that didn't mean she couldn't take full advantage of where Cain was at the moment. Which was currently sucking at her clit, teasing her with his tongue until he moved down, pressing it inside her and curling it up against her sweet spot. Like that, even with his nose practically buried in her labia, he inhaled deeply, scenting her, getting her scent on him. "You like that, Cain?" she asked, trying to keep the breathy moan out of her voice. Cain's response was to growl possessively inside her, not even bothering to lift his mouth off. "Cain," she said, pushing her hands into his hair and pulling. Reluctantly, the head rose, and he gazed at her, his mouth still open and his tongue just poking out between his shiny, flushed lips.
"Yes,"
he breathed. "Good boy," Jupiter whispered, and pushed him back down again. This time she kept her hands on the back of his head, using him as a brace so she could thrust up against his face, causing his own hands to come up and grip her hips for balance. He was going at it with a will now, little snarls getting out between his lips and tongue as he plastered his mouth against her and licked inside with sudden, strong strokes. It sent a jolt through her body and made her spine arch, her grip tightening in his hair. "Use your fingers," she said, when she could speak again. "I want them inside. Let me feel you."
"Yes, Majesty,"
Cain said, the words half-swallowed as he spoke them against her flesh. He pulled away momentarily to lick a sloppy stripe of saliva down his index finger, and then his head lowered again, this time at a slight angle so he could bring his hand up and slide the wet finger inside her. Jupiter heard herself moan, caught between the delicious pressure and the twisting want for more. More. "Your thumb, too," she said, causing Cain to roll his eyes up at her in an unspoken question. "Go on," she said, tensing her thighs lightly around his neck. "Just keep your mouth on my clit. There you go. Good boy." She felt the presence of his thumb pressing inexorably against the front of her pelvis, in a way that made her nerves light up and both soothed and stoked the ache inside her. At the same time, the action stretched her sweetly, and she spread her legs a little more to make room for the intrusion. He crooked his index finger, digging the knuckle downwards, towards her spine, and Jupiter thought there must be something to all those charts which showed that the clitoris was actually a huge tangle of nerves wound around the vagina, because that angle should not have sent tremors through her core. Except it did. And now Cain was practically whining against her clit, laving her with long, sure strokes of his tongue, while his lips held her down with the barest hint of teeth. Pressing his thumb and finger together, they sank in even deeper. The tremors weren't stopping, Jupiter realized, and suddenly found herself tumbling over the falls with a broken, surprised shout as Cain curled his fingers inside her and let out a low, needy growl. "Oh," Jupiter said, so taken off guard that she was rendered momentarily inarticulate. "Oh, oh, 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 fuck! Don't stop, Cain! Don't stop! You're fucking perfect! Don't ever stop! Holy God!" She broke off to inhale,
as the shudders of her climax subsided, leaving her legs to twitch weakly around Kane's neck. Kane planted one last soft kiss on the head of her clit, before turning to kiss the inside of her thigh, her abdomen. He laid his head against her belly, his beard tickling the sensitive skin there. With care, he removed his fingers and brought them to his lips, inhaling deeply before taking them into his mouth and sucking them clean. "Get those back inside me," Jupiter said, shivering at the loss. Kane looked at her, questioning. "You heard me," she said, and gave his exposed ear a sharp pinch. Disbelieving but obedient, Kane gently worked his fingers back inside her, holding his hands still while Jupiter ground down on them. "Oh, yeah," said Jupiter, beginning to feel the happy, twisting need returning. "Yeah, I think I'm gonna need you on the bed now." Almost regretfully, she released his hand, bringing it to her own mouth this time and licking herself off him. Kane shuddered.
"Should I..."
he began, paused to collect his thoughts, and then went on.
"Pants off?"
Definitely, said Jupiter, kicking a leg over his head so she could slide off the couch. Wobbling a bit, she patted Kane's shoulder, for he was still kneeling on the floor. "Come on," she said, and started for the bed. Kane hesitated. He seemed to be thinking of something. Jupiter was halfway to the bed before she turned around to check on him, and was hit by the full force of the sight of Kane Wise, red-lipped, with his wings half-unfurled, crawling on his hands and knees toward her. His spine arched, hips swaying suggestively. "Oh, fuck me," said Jupiter. Kane ducked his head, but she could still see the grin spreading over his features.
"Anything your majesty desires," he said, his voice thick with smug satisfaction.
"I do desire," said Jupiter, just barely able to keep herself together as he drew even with her knees. "You. Bed. Now." When instead he merely pressed up against her legs, his head at just the right height to nose into her crotch, Jupiter gave an aggravated grunt and grabbed a fistful of skin around his neck, as if he really was a dog, and ran him the rest of the way to the bed, pushing at him even as he hurled himself onto it willingly, bouncing once as he got himself turned over onto his back and began undoing the fly of his pants. He looked flushed and happy and inordinately proud of himself. "You liked that," she said, almost accusingly.
"So did you,"
Kane pointed out, a challenging glint in his eye as he leaned forward to start unfastening his boots. "Actually, I changed my mind," said Jupiter, hooking the discreet black canvas bag with her toe and pulling it out from under the bed. "Leave those on. Just pull your pants down." Kane gave her a surprised look, but did as instructed, while Jupiter pulled out her trusty magic wand, because she was nowhere in the neighborhood of messing around, and a purpose-bought emergency barrier, because they hadn't got their second round of testing done yet, and then climbed onto the bed, kneeling by his shoulder so she could plug the wand in, before scooting down to help with his Under Armour. She'd learned the secret of its hidden snaps somewhere around the third time they'd undressed together, and now she practically tore them off his hips, pushing them down a little roughly so she could get at his cock, which was just as hard and red and weeping as she'd expected. If he'd been an ordinary human, Jupiter would have assumed he'd already come once, just from the mess. There was sticky pre-cum smeared over half his belly, but the state of his dick said otherwise. It was long and hard, the sinuous veins, which would swell to form the knot at its base, still tight and small, half covered by his foreskin.
"Oh, you have been patient," Jupiter said with a grin,
as she cracked the barrier open and coaxed it over his dick. Kane said nothing, but shuddered at the sensation as she rubbed the thin material, making sure it covered him entirely, while at the same time warming it with her hands. There was a strange vibration under her fingers as she did so, and it took a moment before she realized it was because his hips were shaking. "But it looks like you're ready now," she said, leaning up to kiss his slack mouth. "What do you think? You ready to be inside me? Want to feel me all around you, hot and strong, holding you down?" Kane gave a small, involuntary cry against Jupiter's cheek, and something in the darker half of her soul did a little victory dance. "Ready to come in me?" she asked, and this time he let out a full, choking sob. He took a couple gulping breaths and said, in jerky gasps, "Whatever pleases your majesty." "Hmm?" said Jupiter, crawling over his lap and rubbing herself along his length, reaching down between her legs to spread some of her own juices over his cock. Kane's whole body did a sort of pulsing jerk, and the words tore out of him. "Yes, yes, please, 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 your majesty." "Shh," said Jupiter, stroking his face with one hand, even as she took a firm grip on his cock and slowly lowered herself onto it. "Good boy. That's a good boy. Oh, fucking hell, Kane, you feel so good." It was like putting a piece of herself back into place, filling a void she hadn't even known was there. The feeling of his cock, with its pleasantly bulbous head, pushing deep inside her, left trails of sparks in its wake. And when she finally slotted in place, his groin warm under her legs, Jupiter felt the heat roar through her like an injection of pure energy. She tilted her hips, just a little, and felt the head of him press up, impossibly deep inside her, and she could have sung. Kane, meanwhile, was a writhing, twitching mess under her, his head thrown to one side and his eyes screwed shut. His hands were fisting in the sheets, and he'd pulled his knees up so he could brace his booted feet against the mattress, as if he wanted to thrust up into her but was, through some superhuman force, not doing so. "Shh, Kane, I got you," she said, leaning forward to brush his face with her hands, running them down his arms and clasping his hands. As she brought them to her sides, he pried his eyes open and stared at her, hazy and wondering.
"You have me," he whispered, his fingers curling around her.
"Not letting go, either," Jupiter sighed with a grin, and clenched around him, as hard as she could. She felt his hands clutch, momentarily claw-like, and then he was pulling himself up so he could bury his face in her chest. She laughed, grabbed his shoulders for balance, and began to rock back and forth, pushing down onto him with little thrusts of her hips. "Feel good?" she asked, after a particularly hard grind which wrenched a broken sob from his throat.
"Yes," he moaned, deep and hoarse. Then, "Please, don't stop."
Jupiter grinned, not that he could see it, and pressed a kiss to the top of his head. "Just getting started," she whispered, and began thrusting onto him in earnest, pushing herself up off his hips only to slam back down again, faster and faster, until she could feel the delicious burn of him dragging in and out, until his hips started to move under her, and then she just held on and let him work. "How's it feel?" she asked, between pounding thrusts.
"Good,"
he moaned, face still buried between her breasts.
"Really good."
"Tell me about it," she said, gasping a little as he nearly bucked her off.
"Ugh,"
was the only reply she got. Then,
"You're so hot and tight. It feels like I'm being consumed. And I don't care. Jupiter, I don't, I can't.
The use of her name, combined with those words, sent a chill down her spine, and she stilled, even as he continued to rock under her. Cain, she said, tugging a little on his hair. Cain, do you need me to stop? Do you want me to get off? Cain went very still under her, but he was trembling. He took a few deep breaths, hot against her skin, and shook his head.
No, he said at last. No, I'm okay.
Okay? Jupiter said, daring to rock her hips a little.
Yes, said Cain, sounding more sure of himself.
Okay, said Jupiter. Carefully, she worked her hands around Cain's neck, her fingers digging into his nape while she pressed her thumbs up against his jawbone, where she couldn't accidentally choke him, and pushed his face up to meet hers. So come on, then, she said, right as she squeezed down on him as hard as she could and pulled her hips back a fraction, before shoving herself down again. The action hit something inside her that made her whole core pulse, so she missed the exact moment when Cain's eyes rolled back into his head and his mouth dropped open in a long, soundless wail. She didn't, couldn't, miss the way his hips snapped up into her, his hands clutching at her sides, or the way she felt him begin to pulse inside her, tremors running up and down the length of his cock as he pressed in as close as he could. Jupiter held on, feeling vaguely triumphant, as she felt the huge body under her tense, relax, twitch, tense, and finally melt against hers, even as a new sensation blossomed between her legs, a growing pressure and sense of fullness that pressed hard against all the right nerves, stretching her as it grew, but not to the point of pain. She felt herself open, take him in, hold him close, and she sighed in contentment as she carefully unfolded her legs and wrapped them around his waist, resting his head against her chest and carding her fingers through his hair. After a little while, once his breathing had evened out and his hands had unclenched, she felt him shift a little under her, pulling his legs in to better support her weight. And, oh, that was a mind-blowing feeling. His cock was still hard inside her, pressing deep, while at the same time the knot at the base had her completely filled. She couldn't let him go even if she wanted.
"Are you okay?"
he whispered, almost apprehensive. Despite the delicacy of the moment, Jupiter found herself laughing. "Cain, I am so far above and beyond okay," she said, leaning down to kiss the side of his face. "But you can help me feel better." His face lifted, and his eyes were clear, if a little wet around the corners. His lips were red, and there was a pink flush across his cheeks. He looked younger, somehow, but deep, like staring up at the night sky and realizing you were looking out onto countless other worlds and... "Shit, I get sappy when I'm ridiculously turned on," Jupiter thought, bringing herself back down to the present. The present, where Cain was saying, "Whatever you want," and stroking his big, strong hands up and down her back. She shivered and reached around him for her vibrator, whose cord was just long enough, flicked it on and pressed it to his chest. "Do I need to tell you what to do with this?" Cain spared a hand from her back to take the handle of the wand, smiling bashfully.
"No," he said, "but I like hearing you tell me."
"Oh, really?" said Jupiter, running her hands over his folded wings. He shivered. "Well then, get that between my legs, right there, near the front. You'll need to spread me a little. Yes, like that." Cain, leaning his weight back on one arm, managed to get the vibrator's powerful head right up against her clit, and then it was all Jupiter could do not to completely go to pieces. As it was, she couldn't help moving a little,
grinding down on Kane's knot and pushing into the sensation of the vibrator. She felt like she was melting from the pleasure of it. But she stayed on that golden edge for a long time, riding the wave of bliss for what felt like miles, before, with a crash, she came with a jerk and a moan that made Kane gasp. The aftershocks continued for what felt like minutes, even after he pulled the wand off her and went back to stroking her sides. Every time she thought she was done, he'd shift inside her and set off another cascade of tremors. When Jupiter finally swam back into the higher realms of consciousness, it was to find Kane staring up at her with a look of frank amazement on his face, his mouth slightly open. "What?" she asked, too sated and happy to bother feeling embarrassed. Kane shut and opened and shut his mouth a couple of times before he managed to say, "I've never seen you come before." Jupiter blinked down at him. "Sorry?" she said. "I think you've seen me come like a dozen times now." Kane shook his head. "Not like that. Like this." "What, with me on your knot?" Jupiter said with a grin, clenching down on him teasingly. "Feels great, by the way." Kane shut his eyes, shivering. "No," he said. I mean with my head clear." His eyes opened, so blue they were like little windows into a midday sky, and he gazed at her with such wonderment that Jupiter thought maybe, she could manage a little self-consciousness. Maybe. Then a thought occurred. "Want to see me do it again?" she asked. Kane gulped. "You can do that?" he whispered. "Sure," said Jupiter, though she was beginning to feel tired. But his knot was still hot and hard inside her. And what was life if you didn't challenge yourself? "Gimme," she said, reaching for the vibrator. Kane handed it over with mute wonder and watched, wide-eyed, as Jupiter took her third orgasm of the night, literally, into her own hands. It felt good in a different way, being able to angle and push and stroke exactly as she needed, and Kane was a constant, warm pressure inside her. She felt something leaking out between them and realized it was her own juices. She'd gotten so wet. She ended up pushing him back down onto the mattress, one hand clawing at his shoulder as she came, ragged and gasping, overblown from the sensation and completely exhausted. With a shaking hand, she switched the vibrator off and tossed it aside, collapsing onto Kane's chest with a relieved sigh, reaching up to stroke his face. He turned, caught her hand with his mouth, and sucked her fingers, gently. He was still hard inside her, but she could feel the pressure from his knot beginning to fade. All in all, it wasn't a bad way to wind down from sex. She draped herself over him and pressed their foreheads together. "Could you do something for me?" he asked, his voice quiet, hesitant.
"Do what?" said Jupiter.
"Your hands," Kane rumbled, and gently guided hers to rest on his neck. "I liked that, when you did it before." Jupiter blinked, trying to dredge up the memory. "Oh," she said, working her fingers into his nape and pushing her thumbs into his jaw. "You mean like this?"
"Yeah,"
said Kane, and she could feel him relax under her. Wouldn't be long now before she'd have to get off him. Kane's refractory period was delayed, but he still had one, and was as sensitive as any human man.
"Only," he said, after a few moments, "move your thumbs down."
Oh, that was interesting. Jupiter had thought she was entirely spent for the night, but she felt a little excitement flare as she encircled Kane's thick neck with her hands as best she could, stroking her thumbs over his throbbing pulse. She wasn't sure if it was that,
or the way Kane seemed to melt into the touch, eyes closing and his face going lax and serene. Then one yellow eyebrow twitched. "Harder," he whispered. Jupiter felt her fingers twitch eagerly, but the sober thought of what exactly she was doing held her back. "Okay, now this is making me a little nervous." Kane's eyes came open, a crease of concern peering between his eyebrows.
"Why?"
Jupiter loosened her hands, but kept them around his neck, stroking the strong muscles with her thumbs. "Because, well, choking. It can go bad really fast." Kane sighed.
"I doubt you could do any real damage to my windpipe."
"Maybe, but still, that's just how I feel." Kane gave a little shrug, arching his neck under her hands and inhaling deeply, as if to make a point. Jupiter was suddenly struck by an inspired idea. "Yeah, well, if you like things around your neck so much, maybe I should just put a collar on you." Kane froze, his eyes widening, and Jupiter thought for an instant that she'd said the wrong thing, gone too far, and then he said, "You do that? For me?" His voice eager, strained. And Jupiter's brain exploded, just a little. When it was done, she dropped her head into his neck, kissing the skin between her fingers and shaking with silent laughter. "Oh my God, Kane," she said. "I don't know what I did to deserve you, but I'm glad. I am so glad you're here."
"Is that a yes?" Kane asked, suddenly nervous.
"What? Oh, yes." Jupiter leaned up, kissing his bristly chin. "I will get you the prettiest collar space bucks can buy. Something bright and pink with rhinestones. Maybe a bell." Kane choked, suppressing a snort. "I'm kidding," said Jupiter. "I'm sure I can find something powerful and manly. Probably black and made of leather. It could have studs."
"I'd prefer that," said Kane. "Pink clashes with my wings." Jupiter couldn't help the small shriek of wrecked laughter that tumbled out of her.
"Ow," said Kane. "Oh, sorry. You done?"
"I am. Yes. Sorry. I am done."
He was, too. Jupiter slid herself off him with great care, and, with equal attention, peeled the barrier away before he went completely soft. Walking shakily over to the kitchen, she disposed of the used barrier and pulled out a hand towel to wet under the faucet. By the time she returned, however, Kane had already put his pants back on and was sitting up on the side of the bed, looking sharply around the apartment. Security check, Jupiter realized, even though he was visibly tired. Kane's military training prevented him from dropping off to sleep right after sex, but that didn't mean he didn't feel it. "Oh, don't," she said, when he made to stand up. "Gernigeth's right downstairs. I'm sure you can afford to sleep for a few hours." Kane hesitated, and Jupiter took the opportunity to crawl onto the bed, wrapping an arm around him and pulling him down after her. "I think we lost the blankets," she said, burying her face into the nearest pillow.
"You are lying on them, Majesty."
"They're stuck," said Jupiter, rolling her head to one side so she could grin at him. "You be my blanket." Kane sighed. "You can keep your boots on, if it makes you feel better." That did it. She felt the bed dip as Kane settled himself next to her, unfolding one wing to wrap around her shoulders, a thick arm reaching around to cup under her knees, pulling her feet up until she was completely covered by the warm feathers. She sighed in contentment and tightened her arms around his neck, pulling him flush against her. There it was again, the feeling of a missing piece sliding home. But Jupiter was too tired to think very hard about what that meant. Sometime in the night, Jupiter woke to the sound of Cain dreaming. They'd shifted in their sleep. His head was now pillowed on her shoulder, and he had an arm draped over her as well as one wing, and her legs had gotten tangled up. At first, Jupiter listened with sleepy amusement to the sound of his waffles and faint yips, but as time passed, these took on a distressed quality that roused her thoroughly. By the time she blinked fully awake, Cain was crying, a horrible, hoarse, guttural cry, the cry of someone caught in a nightmare. "Cain," she whispered. The grating moan continued, and she could feel him shaking against her. "Cain," she said, turning her face into his. Fumbling for his hand, she stroked his wrist, his arm, something to draw him out of the dream. "Cain, everything is all right," she said soothingly. "You're okay. It's all right." She touched his face, and her fingers came away wet. Cain woke up with a howl, the full force of his cry breaking free as the sleep paralysis left him, and he jerked against her, violently. "Cain, Cain, you're okay. I'm here. You're okay." She wasn't sure he heard her words, even now. He was clutching at her almost desperately, nosing into the crook of her neck at... kissing her? No, not kissing. That was his tongue, all right, but it didn't feel like his powerful, probing kisses. Instead, he was gently licking across her neck, her throat, and he was doing so with slow, gentle strokes. Not like someone kissing their lover, more like... like a dog licking a wound. "Cain?" she asked, suddenly unsure whether he was really awake. "Are you all right?" Her answer came a moment later when he blew a shaky breath over her wet skin and pulled back, the shape of his head just visible against the faint, grayish glow from the city beyond the window. "I dreamt it was you," he whispered, his voice thick from sleep, but fully conscious. "Dreamed I was what?" Jupiter asked, confused but sympathetic. She curled her arms around his neck, stroking his hair, his ears. They were cold. She cupped them, warming the tips. "Tell me?"
"I dreamed you were... you were the entitled. The one I..."
The one whose throat he'd torn out. Jupiter felt an odd shiver run into her stomach, like a shaft of ice. It wasn't pleasant. "I'm sorry," she whispered. "I shouldn't have said those things earlier, about biting and stuff. I didn't think. I just didn't think. I'm sorry." Under her hands, she felt his head shake.
"No," he said. "It's not your fault. It's... it's that I can't remember."
"Can't remember the attack?"
"I don't even remember who it was, why I did it," Cain said. His voice was gravelly, with an emptiness to it that made Jupiter ache. "I was on patrol. I saw someone. Something seemed wrong. Next thing I knew, I was in a cell and there's blood on my hands, in my mouth, all down my front. They told me what I'd done, but I don't remember anything. They wouldn't even tell me the entitled's name, but..." He broke off, clamping his mouth shut.
Jupiter rubbed his ears gently, kissed his temple.
"In my dream," he went on, shakily, "in my dream they showed me the body, and it was yours."
She didn't know what to say, so she kissed him again. "I'm here," she said eventually. "I'm fine."
"I'm not," Cain said, his voice ragged.
"You'll get there," Jupiter assured him, running a finger down his jaw, over his short beard, to guide herself in and kiss his mouth.
"There's something wrong with me, Jupiter," he whispered.
It was a mark of how upset he really was that he'd neglected to use her title, and Jupiter could only listen in sober silence.
"I have a bug, like AI get. It makes me want to do things. Things I don't want.
You mean besides biting entitled? Jupiter asked. Cain was silent for a very long time after that.
I get urges sometimes, he said. Things I want, but that I don't want.
I know the feeling, Jupiter sighed, knitting her fingers together behind his head. But you don't do those things, right? Wanting things you shouldn't want is okay, as long as you don't hurt anyone. Not doing something because you know you shouldn't is part of being a good person.
You speak as if we are the same type of person,
Cain said, a flicker of bitter amusement in his voice. Jupiter was entirely too tired to put up with the whole closer to a dog thing again. She gripped his head a little harder and said, In every way that matters, yes. Yes, I think we're the same. She felt Cain's head shake under her hands, but his hands twined around and held her, and she thought she felt him smile. I'm serious, she said. Cain, listen. I've got bugs, too. You know what I thought when I first heard you'd bit an entitled?
I cannot imagine, said Cain dully.
I was relieved, she said, because I didn't feel royal back then. I still don't, not in the way people expect me to be. And from what I've seen of the people you call entitled, well, I honestly can't blame you for wanting to bite them. And I thought, believe it or not, I thought, thank God, here is someone who will be able to tell if I start changing. She couldn't finish. It was something that had been worrying at the back of her mind ever since Kalik had said the word reincarnation. She was reasonably certain she was Jupiter Jones, not Seraphia Braxis. But lately, she found herself re-examining her own mind, just to make sure it was all her in there, and no ancient, brutal, commandeering space queen. The really frightening thing was how easily she'd taken to learning the code of conduct, and everything else that went along with being an entitled. As if the world of high-stakes space capitalism was one she somehow already knew, or was so well-suited to her that it was as if she already knew it. She also knew, just as certainly, that she did not want to be that type of person. It was bad enough wanting to scratch up your lover, to wreck him with pure sensation overload. She didn't want to be a ruthless business person as well, not to mention stay young by eating the genes of dead people, or however regenics worked. She took a breath to have a go at explaining this to Cain, and found her mouth abruptly covered by his. He tasted of salt. He had been crying. You'll stop me, right? She whispered against his cheek. If I start to get like Titus or Balaam.
You won't, Cain said, so assured she almost laughed, but he went on. You're not like them.
And you're not defective, Jupiter returned, kissing his nose.
But if I ever...
Cain couldn't finish that sentence. He didn't have to. Jupiter hugged his head against her and stroked his hair. I'll get Gernageth to stop you, she said. Cain huffed. Or Stinger, she amended. A slight nod.
Good.
Would it help, do you think? To know who it was? She asked after a while. I mean, I am royalty, after all. I bet I could find the records.
They're probably sealed, Cain said.
It can't hurt to ask, Jupiter pointed out. Cain was silent. She half expected him to say,
Actually, it can.
But the silence stretched on, and at the end of it, he only said,
Thank you.
Jupiter didn't bother to ask what for. She lay there, carding her fingers through his hair, listening to him breathe, until the tenseness in his muscles receded and he slept once more. Or pretended to sleep. Jupiter, however, found her brain was whirring too fast for even that. After some interminable amount of time, she carefully extracted herself from Kane's embrace, pulled on her pajamas, and sent a message to Captain Tsing asking if the Aegis had any records of a legionnaire attacking an entitled, and if so, who the parties were. That done, she found herself flipping through Prince Fillion's invitation, then looking him up on the Registrar of Titles. He owned 2 planets outright. Jupiter owned 20, not counting Earth or her namesake, and had shares in 3 others. At first, it seemed obvious why he wanted to marry/do a business merger with her. But now she got to thinking about it. Weren't the entitled all about schemes and plans and cross-plans and cross-schemes? There had to be something more to his desire than just getting a share of a bunch of planets. At least, that was what Jupiter's gut told her. It also told her she would be much better off knowing what that something more was. And if she didn't like it, there were 2 regiments of Sargons, a Legion Honor Guard, and Kane. After application of which, she was confident Prince Fillion would never bother her ever again. This decided, she sent a reply accepting the invitation, and crawled back into bed just as the first streaks of pale dawn began straining the eastern horizon. Kane lay silent and still at her side, his breathing soft and even.